Thank you so much. Thank you so much, so very, very much for the special music. And in addition to that, thank you. I thank the Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church for another invitation to be here. It's always a pleasure and a joy. I consider this to be my second home, and I thank God for being here. There's a couple of folk that are also here today. We want to say thank you so much for being here. I know that you live in the city or live in the surrounding area, but we especially want to say thanks to a gentleman that lived just across the street from this church, Pastor Harris and wife. We want to say thank you to you and the First Lady for being here. And then, of course, there's a couple here today that live down the street from you. We say thank you for being here, Madeline and Sam, and look like you have the little one with you today. Thank you guys so much for being here today. You always hold a special place in my heart. In preparation for this message, I just kind of wanted to, you're going to have to turn this down just a little bit. Before I get started, please, you need to understand that, and you can obviously tell that I'm African-American. It's not hard to tell that. And, you know, we all worship the same God, but our style may be just a little bit different. The other thing that I need to kind of help you out with, some churches normally get out about 12:30 or so, some. But in some of the African-American churches, I don't know about here in Florida, I'm from the great state of Texas, but when in the African-American church in Texas, they are not too worried about the time because in most cases they worship on the Sabbath and we're wondering, do you have to go to work after you leave church? No. Are you going shopping? No. You're probably not going to do a whole lot after church. So in the African-American community, predominantly, we take our time and the preachers don't pay attention to the clock. When the preacher get up, it might be 1, 2 o'clock when he finished. And so I'm just giving you a warning, unless you have to go shopping. The only way I encourage you to leave today, if you have to go shopping, then leave before the service is over. If you don't have to go shopping, just hang around. And the other thing is this is a serious note. I know that during the course of the sermon, people have to get up and you have to do what you have to do. And we certainly don't want you to be uncomfortable sitting in your seat. But there's going to come a part of the service, especially when we have the young lady, I think Jasmine will be doing the appeal song. Once she starts that appeal song, from the time that appeal song starts until the appeal is actually made and completed, we are asking you, we are begging you, pleading with you, please be as still and as quiet as you possibly can. And the reason, I know you know, but just for those who may wonder, why is that so true? The main reason for that is that, number one, by the grace of God, an individual have heard a message from God, and they are responding to that message. And in many instances, sometimes just a movement can be a distraction. And sometimes, I don't want to make it sound like it's more than it is, because what I'm about to say is actually a reality. Sometimes your movement can be a move of Satan, moving in such a way that it hinders that person from making a decision. So the appeal time is a very, very critical time in the service. And I'm asking you to work with us. In preparation for this message, I just kind of wanted to surf the world wide web and kind of see what kind of things do people do when they come to a crossroad or when they come to a fork in the road. Which way do I turn? Where do I go from here? How am I going to make it through this? Should I quit? Should I go on? Should I move forward? When people are experiencing the midnight hours of their life, Sam, what in that moment, what makes the major difference? When I turn my computer on and I proceed one day to read an email prayer request. It was on a Sabbath evening and it was a short request and it had less than 20 words, Fred, and it read as follows, and I quote this email that I received. They said, have all but given up, weak, overpowered, sins are many, chains may be too much to break. End of quote. I noticed the time of this request was actually 2108 military time, which means it was 9:08. It was actually at the conclusion of the Sabbath hours. It was at the conclusion that of a time that should have been a time of height and praise and joy because of what God had done, of time of thanksgiving, during those closing Sabbath hours, a time of reflection on how God had tabernacled close to us during that holy day. We understand that there had been 6 days, but now we've experienced the Sabbath, and it should have been at the close of the Sabbath, it should have been a time of wishing that the Sabbath would conclude. The very presence of God had been in the air during the Sabbath, and we conclude this special time with God and this special time of fellowship by closing the Sabbath hours with power pack. Stay with me, it'll make sense later. By having Elder Edwards, we conclude the Sabbath by having power pack quotes like this. And the years of eternity, as they roll, they will bring rich and still more glorious revelations of God and of Christ. As knowledge increases, so will love, reverence, and happiness increase. We have power-packed quotes like that. With awesome statements from the pen of inspiration, we realize that we can face the joys and the challenges of another week. However, not everyone concludes their Sabbath in such a fashion. Why? The statement "have all but given up" clearly implies this person had much less than a happy Sabbath. So our subject this morning is breaking point. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, I've seen you do so much with so little for so long that I'm now convinced that you can do anything with nothing, meaning me. I pray that you would take these few crumbs and feed your people today by filling my mouth with that which is worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If that nudging happened at 1, 2, so be it, but not really. For those who have permitted your Bible to travel to church with you this morning, we want you to turn to Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through verse number 6, and I want you to mark your place there as we go on this mental journey. There is something about praying and fasting that in reality, Pastor Ron, it is a journey in introspection. Praying and fasting is a journey when God began to peel back the label of self. He began to peel back the labels of what people do not see on the surface. There is something about fasting and spending quality time with God that it begins to expose those things that control you at the very core. Brother McDonald, it will expose those things that control you at the very core. When you're on a fast, you can't hide behind a Snickers bar or a milkshake. When you're on a fast, you cannot hide behind a Big Mac or a veggie burger. When you are on a fast, you cannot hide behind a Sprite. But when you're on a fast, spending quality time with God, you get to the point where God exposes you and he shows you exactly who you are. In the sounds of silence, you see and you hear that which, if you did not experience that, you would not see and you would not hear. You begin to see that no matter what you think about yourself in terms of how proud you may act, in reality, each of us, in some respects, we are poor, we are miserable, we are wretched, and we are blind. I guarantee you, you stay in the car with me, we're going somewhere today. You know, we can trick ourselves. We can actually trick ourselves. And at times we can hide behind a lot of things and we can think that we okay. But it takes God shining a flashlight, if you please, into your life. And then we realize that what I thought I didn't need before is really what I need. And what I really need now, I need the Savior more than ever before. Are you with me so far? Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 through verse number 6. I read in your hearing once again, after Jesus had finished instructing his disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John heard in prison that Jesus was what he was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is a man that does not fall away on account of me." Rewind verse 2 and 3. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect another?" John had come to a breaking point. He was under pressure. You ever been there? Maybe there is no such thing as pressure in Florida, but I suspect that if you're a human on the face of this earth, you've at some point experienced pressure. Pressure, my friends, is a very interesting phenomenon. In fact, in the realms of science, more specifically in the discipline of physics, there is something known as pressure. Pressure is the application of force that acts upon a given unit. James, I'm saying that pressure is the application of force upon a given unit or area. In fact, in physics, engineering, you look at the scientific notation of pressure, and it is P equal F over A. Boy, you didn't know a brother from the hood could learn that stuff, did you? Lord help, look at that. Man, boy, they teach us something. There's something good out of the hood. Did you catch that? The scientific notation of pressure is P equal F over A. Let me help some of us out for just a moment. When you have pressure, you can actually press your finger against that wall for just a minute or so. And when you take your finger away, after pressing your finger against the wall for a minute or so, you do not notice an indention or an imprinting on the wall. Are you with me? But if you take that same finger and you take a thumbtack and you press that thumbtack against the wall with the same force that you use to press your finger when you had no thumbtack, they tell me that thumbtack will go through the wall. It will pierce that wall. As before, your finger did not go through the wall. Why? Because there is a difference in the point of that thumbtack. The point of the thumbtack concentrates the pressure into a small enough area that it can do damage to that wall, regardless to how small the thumbtack is. And if I understand some aspects of physics right, I'm faced with the reality that we are surrounded by pressure. There's atmospheric pressure. There's stagnation pressure. There's hydrostatic pressure. There's barometric pressure. In fact, I understand my friends, since I've been gone, have completed nursing school. Brother James. In fact, you know this, the blood that runs through our body is regulated by pressure. We are surrounded by pressure. Therefore, my friends, we are forced to conclude that pressure in and of itself is essential to human life. Are you with me? Pressure keeps the tires inflated on our trucks and cars and other vehicles. Our understanding of pressure allows us to explore the depths of the sea unharmed. In fact, when you get on an airplane, you begin to take off and you begin to climb into the sky. And the reason you do not suffocate is because they have pressurized the cabin. I want us to understand something about pressure this morning, that although we recognize that pressure plays a vital role in how we function on this earth, there is a flip side of pressure. Although we need pressure in order to survive, and although we need pressure in order to deal with certain things, they tell me that that same pressure, if applied long enough to a specific area, that area, are you with me? That area will tend, if the pressure is great enough, that area will tend to weaken. And then there is something called tensile strength. When that pressure began to weaken, your tensile strength will be tested to its breaking point. Here's what happens. The molecules around that pressure point will begin to come apart. And that place where the molecules began to come apart is the place where it is the weakest. And that, my friends, is what I call a breaking point. You see, saints, there is a kind of pressure that is not physical. There is a pressure that will break down structures, and there is a pressure that if we allow it to, it will break your bones. However, there is another kind of pressure that is not physical, but this next pressure is psychological. In the psychological realm, on the outside, we look at folk and we often look at them. We look on the outside and folk often leave us with the impression that everything is okay. In fact, in a church setting, we are good at masking our pressure. We are good at putting on a facade. As a matter of fact, one psychologist actually wrote that before we walk out our door, we put on a mask. We come to church and we say happy Sabbath, and we should. And folk look at us and they think that in our homes, in our jobs, in our church, on the outside, everything is okay. But if they were able to look at and take a glimpse of the psychological pressures going on in our minds, they would recognize that we have a deficiency in our structure. Man, I hope you get this thing. I hope you get this thing. We have a fault line that's getting ready to crack. I'm talking about a breaking point. Psychological pressure will push you over the brink, and it will cause you to question the very existence of God. I hope you've not been there and hope you never go there. But I'm telling you, there are some pressures that will be so great in your life that it will force you, it will cause you to question the very existence of God. It can cause and has caused many to forsake their faith and their sacrifice made to the Savior. Psychological pressure will get you to the point that you recall, we're talking about psychological pressure. You recall when you stood before the preacher and you said, for richer or for poor, for better or for worse, but now he or she is coming home late on a regular basis, and that psychological pressure has gone to the degree that you are now saying, if he or she come in again with that same lame excuse, I'm packing my bags and I'm walking out the door. Psychological pressure. The wise thing to do in a case like that, obviously, is to talk to the pastor and get some counseling before you make some rash decision. But going through the breaking point, my friends, there are some things that you do in the breaking point that you don't do under other circumstances. And there are situations that all too often when we go through them, we focus more on our present reality and somehow forget our future destiny in the midst of the madness. In the midst of the mess of life, we forget that in actuality, even in the midst of our mess, in actuality, we are actually, Elder Julian, on our way home. No matter what's going on, we are on our way home. When I look at our text this morning, and I look at John, John is the John who it was prophesied about John, that he would prepare the way for the Lord. He would prepare the face of Christ before the Messiah. He would come before the Anointed One. This is the same John who, when Mary came into Elizabeth's presence, John leaped inside of Elizabeth's womb. This John under pressure is the same John that Jesus said, of all men born on this earth, there is not a greater than John the Baptist. This is the same John who his life was divinely etched out from the very beginning, from the foundation of the earth. He dressed differently. He ate differently. This is that John who, when he got himself in that pressure point, when he found himself inside the prison of life, he began to say words like this: are you the one, or do we look for another? I'm not sure about this thing. John had come to the point of knowing the signs. He knew the signs of the Anointed One, but he had come to a breaking point in his life, and the pressures were so great that he's now asking the question, are you the one? Let me put in another plug for pressure, my friends. It will make you question everything you've ever done. Under pressure, a student might question, did I go to the right school? Under pressure, a spouse might raise the question, did I marry the right person? Under pressure, pressure will cause you to look at your current circumstance, yet uncertain about it though you may be, it will also cause you to question your future destiny. I'm talking about the kind of thing that go on in your mind. I'm talking about the kind of stuff that run through the lanes of your brain. Should I have gone to that business deal? Should I have done this? Should I have done that? When you encounter pressure in your life, you are not sure if you should have quit, whether or not you should have kept going. When pressure hit you, you began to question the very foundation of why you actually exist on this earth. You will begin to question God. You will begin in under pressure. You will begin to question, why have I been placed on this earth? Some of us even become unsure. When we are under pressure, sometimes we become unsure about the physical realities of life. Man, I hope I, boy, come back. You've got to remember, friend, that this is the same John that when Jesus was on his way to be baptized, that John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is that same John who heard the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. This is the same John that saw the dove descend down from God out of heaven onto Jesus Christ. But when he found himself in the prison house, when he found himself under pressure, he asked a different question. He's now asking the question, is this the one that should come, or do I look for another? I want to let you know this morning, church, that sometime pressure comes to you not because you have done anything wrong. Notice John found himself in prison because he had come to the place in his life that he was going to tell the truth regardless to what the outcome might be. And he had the audacity to actually confront the King Herod. King, you know that's not your woman. That's your brother's wife, man. What you doing with that woman? You ain't got no business with her. Now, you know, I'm just saying, if he was from the hood, this is how he was saying, you know. You ain't got no business with that woman, man. You need to leave that woman alone. Boy, that's your brother's wife, man. What you doing? You ain't, boy, you crazy? Now, this is John talking to the king. He have the audacity to talk to the king like that. That ain't your woman. You better leave that girl alone, man. Let that woman go back to her husband. But the king don't want to listen. Not only did the king not want to listen, but the king decided, if John had the audacity to talk to me like that, guess what happened? John ended up in prison. Talking to the king like that, yeah, you can go ahead and do it, but get ready for the consequences. And that's why he found himself in prison under pressure. He's asking, is this the one that should come, or do we look for another? I want you to let you know this morning, my friends, that when you are under pressure, you start asking those kind of questions. John found himself standing for the right, but he still found himself cast into prison. Prison began to mount the pressures in his life. And I was told, my friends, I was told when I was born, I was actually told by my aunt that when I was first born, came into this world, the doctors had given up on me, and I had a grandmother who, in her home, she had a special place of prayer. And what she would do for 3 days, my aunt told me that for 3 days, she would go into that place of prayer, and she would pray, and for 3 days, she prayed for me. And finally, there was a turnaround, and a change began to happen. And I actually remember growing up that I was really, really close to my grandmother. She would constantly read to me from that big black Bible, and, you know, we would be involved in programs. But years and years later, I found myself doing some of the wrong things, shooting heroin, and that led to going to prison with a life prison term, and I won't go through all of that. And while I was in prison, I actually began to question my very existence. And I started recalling in my mind what my grandmother taught me. And the thing that made the difference is that I began to realize that my grandmother said, boy, you didn't just come into this world by happenstance. God has a purpose and he has a plan for your life. And as I thought about that, I began to realize that perhaps he does. I began to raise those questions of my very existence because I had come to a breaking point in my life. Are you with me so far? My friend John had come to that kind of a breaking point in his life. You may be there yourself. God has a plan. He has a purpose for your life. Someone here today, you are at a breaking point. And you need to know this morning that God knows where you live. He sees what you are going through. And he knows for you there is a divine plan. He has a holy reason for your existence. And your existence has been etched out from the very foundation of the world. And he's going to do through you what he can do through nobody else if you would just hold on just a little bit longer. Because you have an eternal destiny marked all over your life, and you too are on your way home. I remember how when I was in prison, my mother began to pray me through that prison experience, and she reminded me that God is in the mix. Even though you may not see him right now, you may not be experiencing him, but please, 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 my friends, saints, someone this morning, you need to be reminded that God, the God that you serve, you can still trust him even though you cannot trace his hand in your life this morning. You can still trust him. God, you can come to the point of saying, God, if I ever needed you before, I sure do need you now. Somebody in this building, I know because I've talked to somebody in this very building who's at a breaking point in their life. Oh, you saw them this morning. You see them this morning. You will see them at some other point. But there are individuals sitting around you this very moment that's at a breaking point in their life. Oh, it seems like everything is okay, and for all intents and purposes they might be, but it sure didn't sound like it was okay when I was talking to them this week. They admitted that they're at a breaking point. Now, do you know who that is? You don't need to know, perhaps, but guess what? God knows. What I'm trying to say to you is that there can be people sitting next to you, and there is somebody in this room sitting next to you this morning that's at a breaking point. And whereas you and I may not know, but God does know. Jesus knows what you're going through, my friend, in the midst of my breaking point, just like John did. I thank God that Jesus knows how to handle breaking points. Jesus' chemistry is not turned upside down. He is not crushed when we go through what we go through. Jesus is not taken back when we say, God, I'm not sure exactly why I'm here on this earth. Jesus is not taken back when the pressures are so great that we have no idea what to do. But Jesus lets us know, I know exactly what you're going through. I know you're being tried in the fire. And when crying time, when shouting time, when sighing time is over, when you are being tried in the fire, when all of that mess is over, you will come forth as pure gold. God will not let you down. He will never, ever let you down. Though things around you seem to be crashing in on you, His promise is, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He will give His angels charge over you and bear you in your way so that He will keep you going on even when you don't feel like you can go on any longer. You've got to claim it. Though you may not see it, though you may not feel it, you've got to claim it anyway. The reality, my friends, of God's promises are wrapped up in the promises themselves and not necessarily in you seeing its reality come to pass. I've got to rewind that. Somebody missed it. The reality of the promises of God are wrapped up in the promise themselves by the mere fact that He said it, He has settled it. We say, God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Perhaps that's true. But the greater reality is, God said it, and that settles it, whether you believe it or not. You have the option to believe it. It is your choice to believe it. You will be benefited if you believe it. But if God said it, Madeline, the issue has already been settled. And for some of us, God is bringing us to the point of depending completely on His word. Nothing else. No strings attached. My friend, faith doesn't wait to believe God in the face of evidence, but real faith believes God even in the face of contrary evidence. When circumstances can somehow seemingly crush us, when circumstances conspire against us, we can still maintain faith in Him. What that means is when your income is less than your outgo and you know it will mean your downfall, you can still have faith. Doesn't matter. When you get that pink slip and you're unemployed, you can still have faith. Children may be wayward and may not be in church any longer. You can still have faith. Jesus won't ever let you down, even when the prognosis isn't good, Pastor Ron. It may reveal cancer. You can still have faith because He is still Jehovah Rapha, the God that heals, and He will be your healer. He will uphold you by His right hand. Man, and my friends, what I'm trying to say to you is that this is some serious stuff. Sometimes we have to go through in order to get to. Oh my goodness. Sometimes we have to go through, Brother Fred, in order to get to. There's at least one more point that I want to make about breaking point that I need to remind us of this morning. The breaking point is not designed to kill you. The breaking point is not designed to destroy you. It's not designed for that. But what we need to know this morning, it's not meant to hurt or to harm us. For many of us, the blessing comes after the breaking. There was a T-shirt slogan that rings true, and I think it's true this morning. No pain, no gain. When you're going through a breaking point, you've got to remember that the same God who was there yesterday is still with you today. He is the same God who will be with you tomorrow and the next day and the next day. And He will always be by your side. No matter what you are going through in life, the God that you serve, even at your breaking point, He will always be by your side. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 and verse number 3a. When I look at our text again, I'm reminded that God allowed the breaking points so that he can use us. There's something about a breaking point that's extremely humbling, my friend. There's something about a breaking point that makes you swallow your pride. There's something about a breaking point that makes you not trust yourself anymore. There is something about a breaking point that says that if God doesn't keep me, nobody else can. There's something about a breaking point that you say that I've come to the point that I'm going to depend on God. I will not be able to make it from one day to the next. One thing I like about John, he knew his situation. He knew it was ugly. And he truly couldn't understand all of what was going on in his life. We're slowly about to come to a close. He knew ultimately, John knew that he was on his way home. I've had the joy and the privilege of going to Africa. And I remember after going to Africa 3 weeks, we were there 3 weeks and preached every night twice on Sabbath. After almost 3 weeks of preaching twice on Sabbath in South Africa, the day came when it was time to depart. As we stood in the airport with baggage in front of us, obviously I welcomed casual conversation. But one of the things that I found interesting when individuals would ask me, "Where are you going?" One of the first things that I would say is, "I'm on my way home. I'm on my way home." And that for me, my friends, allows me, I don't know about you, but I know that the sermon that I'm listening to today is a sermon for me. If you choose to put up a front and act like you don't have pressures in your life, if perhaps you've never come to a breaking point, you can lift your hands and say, "Thank you, Jesus, that I've never had a breaking point in my life." And if you are not there now, you can lift up your hands and be thankful that you are not there now. But you need to know there are some of us, even as you hear us now, there are some of us who are at a breaking point. But we've determined we're not going to quit. About 2 weeks before my scheduled trip here, there was a very unwelcome, there was an unwanted, there was what I felt in my heart, absolutely unneeded experience to happen in my own life. What's the point? Why would you even allow something like that to happen in my life, God? Have a brother, younger brother, live less than 5 minutes away. Almost every day he and I talk, less than 5 minutes away. Had similar experiences, a man been out 10 years, spent 18 years locked up. And 2 weeks before I was scheduled to come here, he got sick, indicated that he had been throwing up. I talked to him, and he said that he had been throwing up for a couple of days. The problem is he was on high blood pressure medication, and he threw up 2 or 3 days his high blood pressure medication, which meant no blood pressure medication. And finally, he went to the doctor. They discovered that he had a bleeding stroke. A blood vessel had burst in his brain. And now I'm looking at my brother, almost paralyzed. He cannot see anymore. Can't talk can't go to the restroom on his own. He can't do any of that stuff. And I'm raising the question, what is the point? Why would you even allow it? You're talking about a preacher. But where is the preacher going to go now? Who is the preacher going to talk to? Who is it that you can relate to? And I knew I was scheduled to come here. And in my mind, I kept saying, no, we've got to cancel that trip. The day I arrive here, my sister called me and told me they placed my brother in a nursing home. And I'm talking, man, why? Young man. And my friends, it has brought me to a breaking point. And I'm saying to myself, Lord, what's the point? Why go on? The hurt and the pain is such that it was like when I first came over here, there were knots in my stomach. Couldn't eat, haven't slept for 3 days right here in Lakeland. But I determined I'm running on. I'm going on because I know. I came because I knew that right here in this city, there is somebody going through the same thing that I'm going through. And last night I was walking, a couple of days ago, and guess what? A lady that I knew before stopped me. We started talking. I went to her home. We spent some time. And guess what happened? She was at a breaking point. There was someone right here in this church scheduled to go out with me. At a certain time, they missed their appointment, but they came anyway. And as we sat there talking, I saw the tears in her eyes, and I saw how she had come to a breaking point in her life. She's right here in this church today. She's here today. But even though she is here, that lady sitting here this morning is at a breaking point in her life. And she's sitting here today, if the truth be told, she's wondering how is she going to make it the next day. She's right here today. But just like I shared with both of those individuals, the thing that keep me moving forward, my friend, is I've come to the point that I'm going to depend on the word of God. Does it take away the pain? No. But he said in his word, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will always remain. And I've decided, in the midst of the pain, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this one. Can't see my way through. Have no clue how we're going to make it through this process. And I don't know what I'm going to feel when I go back to Texas and I see my brother in a nursing home. I don't know how it's going to impact my life. But the one thing I've determined, doesn't matter what happened, I'm holding on to God's word. I'm holding on to God's word. Doesn't matter what happened. I'm going to trust him. I can't see my way. I don't see light at the end of this tunnel. But I'm going to trust him anyway. I'm going to trust you in this one, God. I'm going to trust you in this one because I know my Father knows best. He knows best even in terms of what he allows to happen in our lives. When he allow us to come to a breaking point, the way is made. And the more I began to claim that, I remember yesterday I just said to myself, well, I talked to one of the elders right here at this church, and I told him what I was going through. And as I heard what he said, I determined, you know what? I'm going to run on just a little while longer. A young man called me that I went to college with in California. And guess what happened? He was at a breaking point. And he started telling me about some of the knots in his stomach. Some of the same stuff, different issues, but same stuff. And here's where my breakthrough came. I shared with him the stuff I needed to hear. I'm sharing with him stuff I needed to hear. And it dawned on me, you just gave him the answer that you need. And as God began to minister to me, finally, my appetite began to come back. And finally, last night, for the first time since I've been in Lakeland, I was able to get some sleep. May not seem like a big deal to you, but my friend, after 3 days of no sleep, I was finally able. And I know you guys know where Glenda lived. I'm in that big house all by myself. If you can't sleep in that house, you have to have a problem. As nice and comfortable as that environment is, you have to have a problem. And guess what? I did. But I conclude this sermon by simply saying this, my friends. I've come to the point in my life that I'm going to depend completely on God's word. Circumstances may go against it. What I feel may go against it. What I think, what I look at, everything around me may go completely against what God's word said. But he said heaven and earth will pass away. In other words, things around me may change. But he said my word will always remain. And I've concluded I'm going to hold on to his word because he have a job for me to do. And I recognize that people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And whatever is going on in my life, I'm not going to put it on hold. I'm not going to put up a front. I'm not going to put up like nothing is going on. I'm going to be honest with what's going on with me. But even in the midst of it all, I'm still going to be about God's business. And thank God that I am, because right here in this church today, sitting here in this church today, is a young lady who is not a member of this church, and you wouldn't know her even if you looked at her. But she is here today. She is not a member of this church, but she is here because I came to this city. Making some telephone calls because of the food pantry. Had a chance to talk to this lady, and this lady is now in this building today. And I thought about it as I looked this morning. Where would Kawana be had you not came? Perhaps she would have still been stuck in the files over there, because that's where Tawana was, stuck in the files across there. But guess what? She's no longer in the files. In the midst of everything going on in my life, I chose to come. And guess what? Kawana is here today. And there are several other studies that were gotten just this week. Several people who are doing Bible studies in this city, and we are claiming them for Christ because in the midst of the stuff, I decided to come. People need the Lord.